In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Connori & Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll do whatever you need. Help you to draft a will or set up a revocable trust. They can create a healthcare power of attorney. You just have to schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you so that you can get a discount. kmlawyers.com. It is time for our Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny coming up at about 4:30, want to dive into the Commanders' running back position. But we kick off our blitz before we talk Caps. Big news day for them and Commanders with the Nationals. They will have to deal with a split after yesterday getting knocked around by the Baltimore Orioles in Game 2 at Camden Yards against the Birds. Our guy Toby Altizer, who is the co-host of one of the great podcasts in America, Boston. Loose baseball available wherever you get your audio. Toby, what'd you make of the little two gamer with the Birds?
Well, I got to go up to Camden Yards, so that was fun to go to the old ballpark and enjoy a game there. Tuesday was good. It was good to see the bats get going, and impressive debut by Andres Chaparro and a cool return to Camden Yards as a player for James Wood. And then what, not so much yesterday for the team, but I thought DJ Hers looked solid. I mean, you got to feel good going into Baltimore. I know it's only a two-game series, but you got to be fine with a split. That O's team is good, even though they've been struggling. The Nats, they're just not up to par right now with those teams. So it's good to at least take one in a two-game set.
Toblerone, the Nationals have an affordable catcher in Keibra Ruiz. Obviously, we know that. He signed the long-term extension. Is their catcher position solved? Are they good enough there?
Not at all. Not at all. The thing about K-Bert is, coming out of last year, you felt pretty good. He'd hit the 18 home runs. He had, I think, 67 RBIs. You felt good. And then you come into this year, and he has the illness, and he drops to 20 pounds. And at some point, you know, something that happened back in April and May, we're in August now, we've seen some good stretches from him, but not enough to feel, like you say, where it's set. He's affordable. He's nice, but, you know, they clearly don't feel all that set when you go out and draft a guy and Caleb Lomavita pretty early in the draft. I don't think it is set. I don't think they're going to go, you know, spend big money on a catcher, but it's not the biggest position of need, but it's also not set either.
You mentioned Andres Chaparro had the three doubles. He also worked a couple of 10-pitch walks in the game yesterday, having some really good at-bats. He's not old by any means. He is in his mid-20s, 8 seasons in the minors, getting his first shot. Not going to be a guy that plays defense at a high level or really has even a defensive position. But Toby, they may have found another stick here who they could at least get some production from
down the
stretch.
If you're going to question Mike Rizzo about anything, you can talk about the draft and the development and stuff. It's not trades by any means. This is a last-minute trade. You know, we talk about the John Lester and Lane Thomas deal getting done at the deadline. I heard the Diamondbacks general manager talking about this one getting done on the minute, about the Diamondbacks acquiring Floro in this deal. It seems like they might have found something. I watched his batting practice when I got to the ballpark on Tuesday. That was impressive. Line drives all over the place. He's going to be a nice power bat, and there's questions at the corner infield spots. You know, Trey Lipscomb had an opportunity at third. He didn't take full advantage of that. I don't know that he can play third, but first base is open as well, and if you're able to hit, they'll find a spot in the lineup for you.
Yeah, you mentioned Trey Lipscomb. I want to ask you about him. Kind of a forgotten man. Remember, spring training, he was the Nationals' best player. He and James Wood kind of vying for that role. We thought he may be the everyday second baseman. Luis Garcia quietly having a pretty good year in that regard. Where does Trey Lipscomb kind of fit into the picture to you?
Yeah, maybe a utility infielder down the line. Like, he's great defensively, and that's evidenced by him winning a Gold Glove for the team last year in the minor leagues. But I think questions at the plate are always going to follow him. I just don't know what his ceiling is as a player in terms of hitting. And, you know, that's obviously what you're going to base a lot of it around. So I would think that he could be a bench bat and help you defensively and maybe fills a Ildemar Vargas type role when they move on from him and go full in on the youth movement. But hopefully it's something he goes back down and can figure out a consistent stroke.
Toby Altizer, you hear him right here on 106.7 The Fan in the evenings, on the weekends, filling in during the week. And you hear him on Bustin' Loose Baseball talking about the Nats. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Absolutely, anytime.
All of our baseball coverage on The Fans presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's talk hockey. Bailey Johnson covers the Caps for the Washington Post. And we've actually got some Caps news today as we sit here in August, because they brought in old friend and cup hero Jacob Vrana.
He's got a tattoo to prove it.
Bailey, what's going on with Vrana and the Caps?
I mean, in a sense, a lot, and in another sense, not a whole lot. He's just coming in on a tryout for camp, so nothing's promised to him. There's no guarantee of anything. He is literally coming in to show them what he can do and try to make the team. I do think there's a potential opportunity for a spot on the wing if he has a strong camp, but it's been a difficult few years for him since he got traded out of Washington a few years ago, so a lot on the line for him to prove that he still has what it takes to be a consistent NHL player.
Yeah, tell people about his last couple of years. They traded him to the Red Wings for Mantha. He since played in St. Louis. He's been in and out of the program with the league. Like, where are we at on V?
Yeah, you pretty much summed it up. Traded to the Red Wings, spent time in the player assistance program while he was there. When he came out of there, got traded to St. Louis. He only played about 20 games in the NHL last year and spent most of the season with St. Louis's American League team. Had an okay season down there, not like unbelievably outstanding, but a pretty solid, strong season that suggests that he's still got something to give. He's 28 now, so not quite the same young kid he was when he got traded out of here a few years ago. Obviously, one would think really hungry to prove that he is still capable of being a full-time NHL player after a difficult few seasons, and the Capitals are expecting a competitive training camp, so any pieces they can add to increase that competition and have guys really fighting for roster spots, I think they're looking to do. And obviously, Vrana's got a lot of connections to the organization, and for the fans, it's exciting to see his name, but it'll all depend on what happens when they hit the ice in about a month.
Yeah, Bailey, I think you said it. Not a lot of downside for, you know, a camp body that if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you know, you've already got some competition there. Where might be his avenue to crack this lineup or crack this roster, and kind of how set do you feel like they are right now this minute?
I don't feel like they're set at all. They've added so many new pieces this offseason. I was just making a list the other day as I start to prepare my content as we head into the season. And even I was forgetting some of the people that they've brought in. I had to remind myself of things like the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade and a lot of the signings they made in free agency. There's seven new guys that could be full-time NHL players this year. So there's a lot of change, a lot of turnover. I think they're looking at a couple guys from Hershey, like a Hendrix Lapierre, and maybe even someone like Pierre Dubé or Ethan Frank could get a look in camp on the wing. I think one of those spots is where Vrana would fit in as well. My sense is that the Caps don't want to have to put someone from Hershey in because there's nobody else. Like, if one of those guys makes it, that's awesome. That's what they want. But they need to have some veteran presence and not be counting on the young guys if they're not fully ready. So I think that's where Vrana could fit in, kind of a third line winger role if things work out. But there's a ton of things that are open in the roster right now. A lot of flexibility. Going to be a really interesting training camp.
To remind our listeners of some of the names you just referenced, and you said they brought in a bunch of guys. Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to be a top six center. Andrew Mangiapane could be a top six wing. They brought in Taylor Radish, who could be a third line wing. Brandon Duhaime is going to play on the fourth line, likely with Dalton Protas. You got Jacob Chychrun, who might skate with John Carlson. First line of defense, Matt Roy with Rasmus Sundin as a second, you know, line defenseman, perhaps. So it's a very, very different roster, to your point. Are the Capitals back? I mean, could they be really good again?
I think they're going to be better. They've added some scoring, and they're also, I think, going to be stronger defensively. A guy like Matt Roy, I'm really excited to see play. He's a really good player, really, really solid defensively. Chychrun brings a lot of a two-way game that I think could work really well next to Carlson, like you said. There is a little bit of a question of how all these new pieces are going to fit together. Like, when you turn over a third of your lineup that is going to take a little bit of time for them to come together. But I like the swings they've taken. Dubois has had a difficult couple years as well, getting traded from Winnipeg to LA and then LA to here. So he's another guy who kind of needs to prove that he can still be a top six center in this league and can take that role and run with it. So there's, again, going to be a lot of competition, and it'll be interesting to see how the pieces come together. But they certainly didn't, you know, take last year lying down. They said, we need to get better, and they have definitely tried to do that.
Bailey, really appreciate the time here during the summer. We'll be talking soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, as always. Hit that sounder for the Local 53. Weekdays, 10 to noon on 910 The Fan, and to a internet near you, the Richmonder, coming very, very soon in September. Our buddy Michael Phillips joins us. Miguel, it sounds like Dan Quinn's talking about a wide receiver competition for targets behind Terry McLaurin. Is that kind of come as a surprise? And big picture, what should we make of that?
Well, it's not great. You look at the last few first-round picks, and they're kind of all in this spot, right? Jamin Davis doesn't have a defined position. Emmanuel Forbes is needing to prove himself in the second half of preseason games. It certainly sheds light on how we got here in terms of a four-win team needing to rebuild. This is surprising because I think 2 years ago we'd all agree it was a good rookie season for Jahan Dotson. Obviously, he didn't win any Rookie of the Year awards, but he looked good. He had a hamstring injury. He played through it. There was potential there. Last year, everybody was a dud, but I didn't have him circled as guy who needs to be on notice this year. Let me tell you what, Dan Quinn has circled him. He is a guy who needs to be on notice this year now.
Trace McSorley signed at quarterback, likely to play Saturday night. What did you think of that addition?
It'll be nice. Allow me to get an earlier bedtime, so I appreciate that, obviously, the guy with kids can go to bed a little earlier. You know, if they didn't sign him, it was Jaden Daniels and Jeff Driscoll, and obviously if something happens to Jeff Driscoll, you don't want your starter going in the second half of a preseason game. There's no long-term here. He's just a guy who needs to eat some innings during a contractually obligated football game on Saturday.
Is there somebody that isn't being discussed enough right now for you, whether it's like someone flying under the radar is due for a breakout, whether it's maybe an issue? Give me a guy that you want to shine a spotlight on.
It's tough to know what the radar is, but it's Mike Sanristel for me. He's the cornerback, and I'm borderline with that. I think everybody nods when they hear his name now. I don't think he's a secret. He reminds me of Terry McLaurin after being drafted. Remember Terry McLaurin, third round? He's a leader of men, and he's a captain, and he'll be on all the special teams, and you'll love this guy, right? That was the story. He's a Michigan man, and everybody at Michigan loved him and rallied around him. And then they show up, and like all of a sudden, they're like, oh, wait, he can play football, too. I remember second week of training camp, McLaurin was not on special teams. Somebody asked Jay Gruden about it, and Jay was like, yeah, that dude ain't playing special teams anymore. Same with Sanristel. That dude's a corner, and that dude's a starting corner right now. And the sooner you get on the bandwagon, the smarter you're going to look.
Where are you worried about this roster?
Yeah, a lot of places. Probably start on the offensive line. That's an easy one. Wide receiver, now that you know that Jahan Dotson's on the ropes, is one. Tight end, it's about what does Zach Ertz have? How much blocking can you get out of John Bates? I just don't know if they've surrounded Jaden Daniels with enough skill players to make his life easier in his rookie year. I think they're making things harder for him. On defense, you'd probably start at corner. Look at the teams they're playing early in the year, man. If you're going to beat Cincinnati, if you're going to beat Baltimore, you're going to need to lock down three different receivers on every play. I don't know if this team can do that right now.
In terms of this defense, what's a success for them being better than they were last year? Because they were ranked dead last in just about any category. We all think they're going to be better. How much? And how much should we go, you know what, that's a good enough improvement for year one?
You know, I've got the number 20 in mind, right? If they're the 20th best defense in football, I think you've made the strides, done your roster evaluation. You want to salvage as many of these guys as you can, because that makes Adam Peters' job easier, right? If you can salvage Emmanuel Forbes, if you can get Benjamin St. Juice back to form, if you can find a spot for Jamin Davis, right? I just saved you three free agent acquisitions. I just saved you draft picks you can go use to make your quarterback's life easier. To me, it's about how many of these guys, because they had talent. You drafted in the NFL, you have talent. How many of these guys can they revive their careers and not have to replace them this offseason, which accelerates the rebuild?
Michael, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
Take care, guys.
We will see you down in Richmond a week from Saturday at the Big Football Frenzy. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Cam Wolf, NFL Network, one of many reporters in Miami, getting their first look at Jaden Daniels today, who seemed very, very impressed. So I want to catch up with him at 5. That should be telling. But next, are we talking enough about the running back position? Seems like Cliff Kingsbury is very high on the room, and we have heard rave reports on what Washington's thinking about its backs. Let's get into that next.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I would say with the running backs, like Eckler's got a little more juice than people might think left. And, you know, the nice thing for them is that it, like, fits. Like, with what they already have, where Brian Robinson has, like, sort of a contrasting style. And, like, that, you know, and Dan Quinn obviously knows B-Rob pretty well, having been in the NFC East. He knows how physical a runner he can be. So the two of those guys can play off each other nicely. And I would not be surprised if we see them on the field together a lot. And I think with Eckler, like what you want to go back and look at Cliff's offense in Arizona. Look how he used Chase Edmonds. I think that's sort of going to be the vision for Austin Eckler, which is exciting if you go back and look at some of Chase Edmonds' stuff.
That was Albert Breer of MMQB fame, SI's Albert Breer on the show yesterday. He had met with the Commanders, spent some time with the staff and players in Ashburn this week. But one of his big takeaways leaving camp was that Washington really likes its running backs, which shouldn't necessarily be a surprise because they've talked about this from time to time. In fact, Cliff Kingsbury was on a podcast with Diana Rossini of The Athletic, and she asked him something along the lines of, you'll hear the clip here, there's a little music behind it, which is always super annoying, but she asked him about the vision for the offense. Like, what do you envision? What do you see? And he started with the running backs. I think that that's telling. Not that he said he likes guys. Of course, the coordinator is going to say that, Danny. But what do you envision for your offense? His answer began with how much he likes his running back.
What is a Cliff Kingsbury offense going to look like in Washington? In your dream scenario, what are we going to see on Sunday?
Dream scenario is everybody stays healthy.
That's a good start. It's always a good start.
We're still trying to figure out what we are exactly. You know, we want to play to our strengths and maximize the personnel we have. I really like the running back combination with Austin and B-Rob. They complement each other well. And then getting Zach here as a tight end, who's the quarterback's best friend, has been good. And then Terry McLaurin is tremendous. You know, so start with good pieces and have some other guys step up, and we'll build it from there.
So two things. One, I wish Cliff Kingsbury talked more. Two, I love his voice. It's so deep. You know how deep Cliff Kingsbury's voice is?
It's like there's some baritone to it. There's some gravitas to it.
He just has a really deep, like, find some non-music induced Cliff Kingsbury audio from Arizona. It's just soothing.
Because it doesn't sound like someone doing a deep voice bit.
I want him to read a book, and I'll listen to it when I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Is that weird to say?
A little bit.
Okay.
But I know what you mean. It's a nice soothing voice. He's like, good night, moon. You know, like it's not an action movie, but it's like a nice soothing deep voice.
He's got a great voice. He doesn't talk that much. He seems to have very little interest in media stuff.
Right.
Unless it's like hanging out with Peter Schrager, who's apparently his best friend.
Then.
Just ask Peter Schrager. He'll tell you. Am I wrong? I mean, nobody loves talking about being friends with Cliff Kingsbury more than Peter Schrager. Here's some Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the specifics of the process as much, but obviously historic franchise, incredible fan base, the opportunity to work with Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, who I've always had a ton of respect with, and then the ownership group, what they're trying to do, their vision. It's exciting times. I've heard great things about the DMV, so just honored to be here.
Give me those pipes. If I had those pipes, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Yeah, it comes from deep down.
I'll tell you right now. It'd be the Danny and somebody else show, okay? We'd be calling some games. We'd be busy working this weekend if I had those Kingsbury pipes.
Leading up to week zero, GP
exactly.
On the call.
You'd be seeing me on Saturday on whatever network you're turning on.
Love it.
Those are some good pipes from Cliff Kingsbury. You know who gave him those pikes, apparently, was Peter Schrager.
Peter Schrager gifted
those.
Come on,
I'm kidding.
We're having fun.
We're having a good time.
It's just jokes.
But Peter would tell you that he did. Just ask him.
I invented it.
He is friends with Cliff Kingsbury. That's the point of the
You know, I was hanging out with Cliff Kingsbury the other day.
You pick up that name I just
dropped. At Sean McVay's wedding.
Come on. We're kidding. We're just... That's the fun bell right
there,
guys.
It's a bell of fun.
We're just having a... This
it's
is a,
just
I want this
fun.
Bell work.
It's not ringing.
There it is.
You dropped the name on it. There we go. That
That's
worked.
The bell.
There it is.
Just got to drop it right there.
Yeah, right there.
Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler. Here's what I like. Complimentary mm-hmm. is the right word. And they seem to... I like the tandem. I like how they're going to play off each other. Robinson, Thunder. Eckler, I'm not going to call lightning, but I think he does a lot of the things you don't think of as Robinson doing. They're also very different body types, right? Eckler's small, shifty, more diminutive. Now, he's powerful, packs a punch. But Robinson is a big, thick, battering ram. I think you got a shot to have a really nice A-B tandem here that you can keep both of them fresh. They can both do whatever you ask. I think they're both capable of being three-down backs, but they're going to spell each other. This could be a really legitimately healthy situation.
I tend to agree. So let me just get a couple things off my chest, if I may. People have this romantic vision of a complimentary backfield. It's actually not that special unless they're able to be in the game at the same time. And here's what I mean. For so many years, you have a first and second down running back, a large guy, thumper between the tackles. He's downhill. Enter the third down back. Here comes Chris Thompson. Here comes J.D. McKissic. We've done that before. That's not special, right? That's a normal situation. What I want is unpredictability. I want a Brian Robinson. As you saw last year, he's able to do it. You can throw to him on early downs. 2 years ago, he caught 9 passes for Scott Turner, which is comical. I think probably 6 or 7 of those were screens. Last year, 36 receptions, including a couple great plays where he's running after the catch, catching Sam Howell balls and going down the field. So complimentary is only good if there's still some mystery. If one guy's in early and he's a thumper down between the tackles and the next guy comes in, it's a, you know, he's either pitched to the outside or you're throwing to him. There's no mystery there. The defense can account for that easily. You need to be able to keep them on their toes and keep them honest.
But that's what I like.
And I think that's what we have here.
Both can do both.
Yes.
Like Robinson proved last year. I still go back to my first week at camp last season when the Bieniemy operation in Shabangas. And he was out there catching a million balls out of the backfield in those drills.
He's going to catch it better than people think, yeah.
I'm like, he's a receiver when you want him to be. Remember the Seattle game
that
you were talking about? Like 2 long catches, touchdown, completion. He could do that. Eckler also has always been
Great at it.
Full back, a complete between the tackles, inside, outside thumper. And he is, to your point, exceptional as a pass catcher. But I think the thing that they can hang their hat on is if one of those guys is banged up or something, the other one doesn't have to be spelled because I can't catch the ball or because I can't run between the tackles, then you just get a little bigger workload at that point. I'm also interested in what they do the rest of the depth chart, if we could kind of round it out. So there's 3 other backs that are really getting any work right now. Chris Rodriguez, 6th-round pick by the Rivera era Marty Party last year. He's going into his second season, led the team in rushing yards per attempt last season. Jeremy McNichols, who this group signed this offseason, who played pretty well, I thought, in the first preseason game. And actually, Dan Quinn gave a big hug on the sideline at one point. You could kind of tell he was impressed or happy with what he saw. And then the other guy is Michael Wiley, who after watching the film, Dan Quinn shouted out. He shouted out 2 players, 1 on defense, 1 on offense. And it was Michael Wiley, the college free agent, who got carries and popped a run out of Arizona in the first preseason game. So basically, I think it's a 3-back competition to be the 3rd back on the team between Rodriguez, McNichols, and Wiley.
And so early lead right now to me looks like McNichols. So just now, again, maybe that's based on usage. Maybe that's based on the fact that they brought him in. But it just sort of seems that maybe they're looking more for that than they are for another straight-ahead runner with some thump.
Well, I was going to say, we'd have a good idea as to who's going to be the guy they pick if we knew what they were looking for. Do you want a Brian Robinson light? Because that's what Chris Rodriguez might be. Do you want a guy who's played in the NFL a bunch and you know you can count to like pick up a blitz? I don't know if that's a strength for Jeremy McNichols, but I'd imagine to have gotten 50 carries and to have caught 11 balls, you know, done some of the things that he's done in the past in the league, that you probably, I mean, he had a 28 catch season as an example. You don't catch 30 balls for a couple hundred yards in the NFL if you can't help in pass pro, right? So maybe because he can give you the Eckler. Like, are you looking for Eckler's backup? Or are you looking for Robinson's?
You know my answer.
I think. Well, I know what you are. Yeah. But I'm saying that
what they're looking for.
Like, to me, Rodriguez is more of a Robinson,
mm-hmm.
probably without some of the ability to catch the ball. McNichols is more of an Eckler, but I would say he has a better chance to also be a running back, a guy with 90 career carries, than Rodriguez has to be a pass catcher. So maybe because his secondary skill is a little better, maybe that's where he has the lead. And then we just don't know as much about Wiley. We just haven't seen enough of him.
I think what sort of went in doubt, I'm going to default to, did the old regime bring him in or did this one?
Dude, I keep going back to this. I think a lot of the Rivera draft picks are going to get cut. The first rounders are in trouble, it seems like.
Yeah.
The guys in the third and fourth round, it was good knowing you.
Right. Shots across the bow in a lot of cases. Now, there's some guys like Dyami Brown who seem to be more in favor now than they were then. So there are exceptions
That's
to the
short
rule.
List.
But exactly.
There's a lot more Braden Daniels is.
Yeah.
That are just buried on the depth chart, not getting opportunities.
So again, maybe it's an early tell. Maybe it's,
when's the last
false
time you heard Ricky Stromberg's name?
It's been a minute.
Center, third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Last year. You don't hear his name at all. That's not good.
Totally right. If you're a member of the Stromberg clan, you're right. So my guess is McNichols. I mean, I'm hoping that they sort of understand here. Obviously, being able to run the football is important, especially when it comes to protecting the young quarterback. But to me, what's more important than that is keeping him protected, giving him safety valves. That means a lot of Eckler. And then that Eckler-style skill set, right? Where if he needs to stay in for blitz pickup, I want that in shotgun. And if he can leak out and be another option as a safety valve, I want that. That to me is probably more essential than anything else. That's a direct relationship with that young quarterback. And you notice when Kingsbury was given his what kind of offense are we, who do we have, the names he mentioned, Terry McLaurin, the tight end spot, and then the running backs, right? It wasn't like we're going four wide, give him a bunch of opportunities, and we're going to sling it. Not that he would give that away, but you know what I mean? This was we're building one outside and kind of the old school triplets mentality, right? Of you think of those great Dallas Cowboy teams, Emmitt Smith and Novacek and Irvin. That's sort of far, middle, near type, offensive design with other guys sprinkled in. I think that's kind of how they envision it. So to me, that would sort of lead me to believe a pass catching running back is more to premium.
Let's open up the phones on this next. First of all, your thoughts on the running back position here for the Commanders. 800-636-1067. And here's the other secondary discussion we should have, and maybe we can get thoughts on via the phones. How do you think the B-Rob Eckler split goes? Who do you think has the bigger season this year, Robinson or Eckler? Who ends up really shining of the two? 800-636-1067. We'll answer that next. Remember, in 20 minutes, Cameron Wolf, the national NFL reporter from NFL Network, was based often in Miami, was at Dolphins Commanders practice today. We'll talk to him on The Fan. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. Are we talking enough about the Commanders running back room? That's what we're diving into right now. Brian Robinson, in his career over 2 years, averaged 4.0 yards per carry. Was a little better last year in that area than the season before. Remember, in his rookie year, in the offseason, right around now, actually, he got shot in the leg in Washington, D.C. Had to come back from that injury about a quarter way through the year, was able to. And he wasn't quite as explosive as he became as the year went on as a sophomore last year. But still, 4.0 yards per carry over his 2 years. Comparatively, if you take last year out when Austin Eckler played hurt and was behind a bad offensive line, he's a 4.6 yard per carry guy in his career. And that's a career that has seen him catch 108, 92, and 70 balls in three different seasons when he was at his peak as a receiver. So he's got huge numbers. Jeremy McNichols, Chris Rodriguez competing perhaps for the third running back job. Who is going to be more impactful this year, Robinson or Eckler? One of the questions we're asking you on the phones.
Eckler's my answer. He's a better player, and he can do more. And the only thing that you have to worry about him is you know, keeping him fresh, keeping him healthy, and limiting some of the hard contact that he's, you know, kind of accrued over the years. Remember, he's one of the great goal line backs in the sport. You look at some of the touchdown totals. They jump off the screen at you. I'm not talking about catching a 15-yard pass and matriculating through some traffic. I'm talking about as a runner between the tackles, you know, sort of working that last bit of a leg drive to get in. But Brian Robinson is who he is. This is a 200-carry, 800-yard type running back, right? You've got a couple of seasons of proof for that. He catches the ball a little bit better than people gave him credit for. You saw that last year, certainly. So you go back and look at some of the overall numbers. 2 years ago under Scott Turner, running backs, the top two guys, accounted for 410 touches. I don't think they're going to get to that total this year, although they might be kind of close if you consider
touches or carries.
Touches altogether.
I think they'll get to 410 touches.
I mean, last year they were at 350 between Gibson and
Robinson. And they never ran the ball.
But they threw it a ton to those guys. I mean, you had 90 receptions.
I think they're
going to
throw it a ton to those guys this
year. I think that's
too.
How you get there, right? I think it'll be right around 400, give or take. And I think Eckler ends up with more of those when you put both the rushing attempts and receptions together.
I think they'll combine for, I don't know, 75 catches or so. And I think they'll combine for, I don't know, certainly over 300 carries between the two of them. But yeah, I think they're going to run the ball a lot, and I do think they're going to throw the ball to Eckler a ton, which is why Eckler's my answer as well. Eckler is 29, Robinson's only 25, so if you would say Robinson will be the guy, it's because you're projecting either a breakout or maybe just that Eckler is slowing down. I mean, last year was not pretty for him as a rusher.
No, the run totals were bad.
He was still pretty good making people miss when you got him in space as a pass catcher. But his workload, the way he works out, the size he's got, like some of those things should age a little better. And some of the bigger backs around the league that fall off at 29. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. What's up, Anthony? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, bud?
Good, thanks.
I'm good, I'm good. Yeah, I'm a long-time listener, like fifth-time caller. But, yeah, so I think the running back room is pretty decent. I think it's going to be well-balanced. It'll be like a two-headed monster type thing, type situation, where not one running back is going to outshine the other. It'll be pretty well balanced. It'll actually be like a three-headed monster because you got – and Jaden Daniels can run a little bit, although he's a quarterback. And then Austin Eckler is more of a pass-catching running back, so it adds that element to it. So I think overall it'll be well balanced.
I'm going to cut you off just because I can hear us in the background. So next time, do me a favor, turn your radio down just a little bit because it's a little distracting.
Appreciate you, bud.
Having said that, though, the Jaden Daniels point is such a good point. It's just so good that you bring that up because we haven't talked about what he does for the running game. We all saw 2012. We lived through that. We remember when Alfred Morris, who within a couple of years was down to just kind of your normal 1,000-yard back, who a couple years after that was a backup, who a couple years out of that's out of the NFL, a sixth-round pick out of Florida Atlantic was unstoppable. He was a 1,600-yard, 5-yard per carry for much of the season. I think he finished about 4.7-yard per carry guy because you're defending an 11-on-11. Because on those read options and that bare front, that edge defender is saying, I'd rather make sure Jaden Daniels doesn't get the ball because he's going for 70 and a touchdown if he does. We'll let Alfred Morris plunge into the line of scrimmage and someone else will tackle him. It'll be someone else's problem. I'd rather give up the 5, 6, 7 to him than the 29 around the edge to Jaden Daniels. And it's going to help Eckler / Robinson immensely. But also Jaden Daniels from that standpoint, like the rushing ability he provides, and they can't run him enough as far as I'm concerned. It's going to be a complete game changer for their running game. There's a reason why the Commanders had the number one rushing offense in the league in 2012. Part of it is Alfred Morris, who was a Griffin creation largely.
Great, they were great working off each other.
But it was a Griffin accomplishment that they ranked one in that category. Let's go to Terry in Danville. What's up, Terry?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I think that Brian Robinson is the tone setter, so he would be the most important back, but I believe Eckler will be equally as effective. He will be the third down back. The big question is, who's going to bag up Brian Robinson? And I think that's wide open. I believe the rookie is doing very well. And I know, Dan, if it comes down to the rookie and the McNichols or whatever, it's going to be the rookie. Less money, and that guy can do both. He can catch the ball out the backfield, and he's a good physical runner.
Do we know that yet about Dan Quinn? I mean, how confident are we that they're just going to go with the cheaper, younger guy? That's actually kind of the opposite vibe that I've gotten in camp.
Well, if they were up against the cap, this was a roster crunch kind of a thing, and they weren't looking sort of beyond this year as well. I do think that's kind of happened here for the first time. There's some forward thinking taking place, and I know you kind of might scratch your head and go, "Well, why did they sign all these guys for 1 year?" I think that's exactly why, is because they don't want to get tied into long-term deals, have to pay out the yang on the back end just to be slightly more mediocre. They're doing this as kind of like a phase build here. So they're kind of eyeing the future. So if somebody can play and help you right now, I actually don't think they would mind that, certainly, even if he's a bit more expensive.
Yeah. And McNichols, while he's certainly not young, he's 28, which is, I mean, for a running back, frankly, you're nearing the end, as funny as that is to say. He has played everywhere. Listen to his team history. He's just bounced all over. Tampa, San Fran, Indy, Denver, Tennessee, Chicago, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Washington. So we're talking about the ultimate journeyman. Now, he's played a little bit in the NFL, but it is a replacement level. Like, there's no reason to pretend like there's not a guy like that in a lot of camps, which I would say the same thing about Wiley. Mm-hmm. There was 250 draft picks. Nobody took him. But I don't think going cheaper or younger is necessarily what Dan Quinn cares about, because they just had an offseason where they signed a bunch of veterans, a bunch of guys that could be around for 1 or 2 years to help them elevate the tide and kind of change the culture. I think what he cares the most about is how do they fit into the culture. And with all the funny things they put on shirts and all the words that they paint on the walls in the meeting rooms, like, do they live and breathe whatever those messages are? And if the answer is yes, the guy that lives and breathes them more, I think that's who Dan Quinn is going to keep. Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, covers the Dolphins, based out of Miami quite a bit. He was at practice today. We'll ask him about the Dolphins and the Commanders. And Jaden Daniels next here on G&D. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is the Fan. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. Are we talking enough about the Commanders' running back room? That's what we're diving into right now. Brian Robinson, in his career over 2 years, averaged 4.0 yards per carry. Was a little better last year in that area than the season before. Remember, in his rookie year, in the offseason, right around now, actually, he got shot in the leg in Washington, D.C. Had to come back from that injury about a quarter way through the year, was able to. And he wasn't quite as explosive as he became as the year went on as a sophomore last year. But still, 4.0 yards per carry over his 2 years, comparatively, if you take last year out when Austin Eckler played hurt and was behind a bad offensive line, he's a 4.6 yard per carry guy in his career. And that's a career that has seen him catch 108, 92, and 70 balls in three different seasons when he was at his peak as a receiver. So he's got huge numbers. Jeremy McNichols, Chris Rodriguez competing perhaps for the third running back job. Who is going to be more impactful this year, Robinson or Eckler? One of the questions we're asking you on the phones.
Eckler's my answer. He's a better player, and he could do more. And the only thing that you have to worry about him is, you know, keeping him fresh, keeping him healthy, and limiting some of the hard contact that he's, you know, kind of accrued over the years. Remember, he's one of the great goal line backs in the sport. You look at some of the touchdown totals. They jump off the screen at you. I'm not talking about catching a 15-yard pass and matriculating through some traffic. I'm talking about as a runner between the tackles, you know, sort of working that last bit of a leg drive to get in. But Brian Robinson is who he is. This is a 200-carry, 800-yard type running back, right? You've got a couple of seasons of proof for that. He catches the ball a little bit better than people gave him credit for. You saw that last year, certainly. So you go back and look at some of the overall numbers. 2 years ago under Scott Turner, running backs, the top two guys, accounted for 410 touches. I don't think they're going to get to that total this year, although they might be kind of close if you consider
touches or carries.
Touches altogether.
I think they'll get to 410 touches.
I mean, last year they were at 350 between Gibson and
Robinson. Ran the ball.
But they threw it a ton to those guys. When you had,
I think they're going to throw it a ton to those guys this
year.
I
think that's how you get there, right? I think it'll be right around 400, give or take. And I think Eckler ends up with more of those when you put both the rushing attempts and receptions together.
I think they'll combine for, I don't know, 75 catches or so. And I think they'll combine for, I don't know, certainly over 300 carries between the two of them. But yeah, I think they're going to run the ball a lot, and I do think they're going to throw the ball to Eckler a ton, which is why Eckler's my answer as well. Eckler is 29, Robinson's only 25, so if you would say Robinson will be the guy, it's because you're projecting either a breakout or maybe just that Eckler is slowing down. I mean, last year was not pretty for him as a rusher.
No, the run totals were bad.
He was still pretty good making people miss when you got him in space as a pass catcher. But his workload, the way he works out, the size he's got, like some of those things should age a little better than some of the bigger backs around the league that fall off at 29. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. What's up, Anthony? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, bud?
Good, thanks.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm a long-time listener, like fifth-time caller. But, yeah, so I think the running back room is pretty decent. I think it's going to be well-balanced. It'll be like a two-headed monster type thing, type situation, where not one running back is going to outshine the other. It'll be pretty well-balanced. It'll actually be like a three-headed monster because you got Jaden Daniels can run a little bit, although he's a quarterback. And then Austin Eckler is more of a pass-catching running back, so it adds that element to it. So I think overall it'll be well-balanced.
I'm going to cut you off just because I can hear us in the background. So next time, do me a favor, turn your radio down just a little bit because it's a little distracting.
Appreciate you, bud.
Having said that, though, the Jaden Daniels point is such a good point. It's just so good that you bring that up because we haven't talked about what he does for the running game. We all saw 2012. We lived through that. We remember when Alfred Morris, who within a couple of years was down to just kind of your normal 1,000-yard back, who a couple years after that was a backup, who a couple years out of that's out of the NFL, a sixth-round pick out of Florida Atlantic was unstoppable. He was a 1,600-yard, 5-yard per carry for much of the season. I think he finished about 4.7-yard per carry guy because you're defending an 11-on-11. Because on those read options and that bare front, that edge defender is saying, I'd rather make sure Jaden Daniels doesn't get the ball because he's going for 70 and a touchdown if he does. We'll let Alfred Morris plunge into the line of scrimmage and someone else will tackle him. It'll be someone else's problem. I'd rather give up the 5, 6, 7 to him than the 29 around the edge to Jaden Daniels. And it's going to help Eckler / Robinson immensely. But also Jaden Daniels from that standpoint, like the rushing ability he provides, and they can't run him enough as far as I'm concerned. It's going to be a complete game changer for their running game. There's a reason why the Commanders had the number one rushing offense in the league in 2012. Part of it is Alfred Morris, who was a Griffin creation largely.
Great, they were great working off each other.
But it was a Griffin accomplishment that they ranked one in that category. Let's go to Terry in Danville. What's up, Terry?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I think that Brian Robinson is the tone setter, so he would be the most important back. But I believe Eckler will be equally as effective. He will be the third down back. The big question is, who's going to bag up Brian Robinson? And I think that's wide open. I believe the rookie is doing very well. And I know, Dan, if it comes down to the rookie and the McNichols or whatever, it's going to be the rookie. Less money, and that guy can do both. He can catch the ball off the backfield, and he's a good physical runner.
Do we know that yet about Dan Quinn? I mean, how confident are we that they're just going to go with the cheaper, younger guy? That's actually kind of the opposite vibe that I've gotten in camp.
Well, if they were up against the cap and this was a roster crunch kind of a thing, and they weren't looking sort of beyond this year as well, I do think that's kind of happened here for the first time. There's some forward thinking taking place. And I know you kind of might scratch your head and go, well, why did they sign all these guys for 1 year? I think that's exactly why, is because they don't want to get tied into long-term deals, they have to pay out the yang on the back end just to be slightly more mediocre. They're doing this as kind of like a phase build here. So they're kind of eyeing the future. So if somebody can play and help you right now, I actually don't think they would mind that, certainly, even if he's a bit more expensive.
Yeah. And McNichols, while he's certainly not young, he's 28, which is, I mean, for a running back, frankly, you're nearing the end, as funny as that is to say. He has played everywhere. Listen to his team history. He's just bounced all over. Tampa, San Fran, Indy, Denver, Tennessee, Chicago, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Washington. So we're talking about the ultimate journeyman. Now, he's played a little bit in the NFL, but it is a replacement level. There's no reason to pretend like there's not a guy like that in a lot of camps, which I would say the same thing about Wiley. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was 250 draft picks. Nobody took him. But I don't think going cheaper or younger is necessarily what Dan Quinn cares about, because they just had an offseason where they signed a bunch of veterans, a bunch of guys that could be around for 1 or 2 years to help them elevate the tide and kind of change the culture. I think what he cares the most about is how do they fit into the culture. And with all the funny things they put on shirts and all the words that they paint on the walls in the meeting rooms, like, do they live and breathe whatever those messages are? And if the answer is yes, the guy that lives and breathes them more, I think that's who Dan Quinn is going to keep. Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, covers the Dolphins based out of Miami quite a bit. He was at practice today. We'll ask him about the Dolphins and the Commanders. And Jaden Daniels next here on G&D.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.